Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast and for listening. WWE Payback is coming up on Sunday. That's the biggest story of the week going on, coming off of Raw this past week. So I'm joined by Damon Martin from Fox Sports to talk about it and everything else going on in wrestling. How's everything going, Damon?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
So is your head spinning trying to keep up with wrestling when there's so much going on in MMA right now?
You know, it's funny, wrestling, just like anything else, you know, just like the entertainment stuff I do, it's a great distraction. You know, that's the way I look at it. I have my hand in a lot of different avenues, and it's great. I love it because, you know, that way I never get burnout on one thing. When I kind of feel a little bit burnout on MMA, I've always got wrestling. When I feel a little burnout on wrestling, I've always got Game of Thrones. So there's always something going on to keep me busy, and I love it.
That's what I was going to say. So everybody, of course, can go to Fox Sports to find your work, but they can go to nerdcoremovement.com as well to find out about other things that you do when it comes to entertainment and TV that you cover, including Game of Thrones, which thankfully is back on TV now.
Yes, yes. Great. Probably my favorite show currently airing on television. It's a phenomenal show. So, yeah. So, like I said, I like to keep busy. And like I said, I think it as busy as it keeps me, it's good because it keeps me, it keeps me from getting burnout on any one thing.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? So let's get into WWE this week. So the big news is obviously they've got Payback coming up on Sunday. You got Roman Reigns and AJ Styles in the main events. And it's actually a really good lineup, actually. And it's funny looking at it because WrestleMania, you know, it's always their biggest event for WWE, rightfully so. The name WrestleMania sells itself more than any one match nowadays, I think. But when you look at Payback and what they've done in building up this show and the lineup, I think you can make an argument that they've done a better job in building up Payback than they have WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's a really quality card. And the thing with WrestleMania this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like it came together really late. Obviously you had everyone knew Roman was gonna fight Triple H. There was never a question about that. We never thought about that. But everything else kind of came together late. I mean, even the Shane McMahon thing kind of came together a few weeks before, and everything kind of came together a few weeks before the event. So, you know, it does feel like this has had a little bit more, a more natural feel to the match selection, if that makes sense. Just, you know, kind of like these rivalries that have come together and the matches that are coming together, a lot of fun. Plus, I think the injection of a lot of the new guys from NXT has been great. They do that every now and again, and it's been fantastic, the addition of, you know, Sami Zayn and bringing in Enzo and Cass, and obviously the Vaudevillians, and just, you know, it's like that injection of life, and you get excited because you just see some new talent. It's not the same old matchups you're used to seeing, so I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, and the thing that, you know, I liked about, you know, post-WrestleMania this year is that we didn't see, for the most part, a continuation of what went into WrestleMania, because like the last 3 or 4 years, especially, it's felt like there's WrestleMania and, oh, let's keep going with some rematches and things like that. And this year it really felt like that season is over. That year is behind us. Now we are moving forward. We're playing off that, but we're bringing in some other talent. We're bringing in fresh faces. We are having different matchups in it. And it felt like that was then, this is now, we're moving forward rather than just keeping playing off WrestleMania, which I think adds a lot of intrigue and excitement, especially for people that are ardent wrestling fans.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, you know, they did have some great, you know, they had some great matches at WrestleMania. But I agree. I think, you know, moving into new storylines and new ideas was a great way to do it. You know, and I think they actually, you know, one thing I will compliment WWE on, it looked like, and you know, much to my dismay, because I was excited that Bray Wyatt was about to get a push. It seemed like, anyways. I mean, he's, in my opinion, one of the most criminally underused, underpromoted guys, for as good as he is in the ring and on the mic. The fact that he's, you know, consistently just jobs in his biggest matches kind of bums me out. It looked like he was finally ready to get a big push into, you know, I don't know, this weird crossover between heel and face kind of thing. And then he gets injured, which is, you know, terrible for him. But they have rolled with the punches really well and, you know, moved right into AJ Styles and the introduction of the Bullet Club or whatever they're going to call him now. But yeah, so I think they've done a really good job kind of moving on from WrestleMania. And I think the injection of the new talent and just kind of creating some new storylines is kind of made it fresh. And again, I agree with you. You're not just like, oh my God, we're not going to see Roman and Triple H again. We're not going to see this again. They've kind of, you know, that was the end of things. And now we're kind of moving on. We're getting some fresh new stories and some guys are getting, you know, bigger chances.
The thing that I'm going to be very interested about is how much do ratings dictate going forward? Because obviously there has to be some kind of correlation to that, but ratings for shows are lower than ever before because there are so many different options that are out there. And I'm not trying to, you know, give WWE an excuse, but at the same time, they are introducing a lot of new talents. I think it takes a while to get people used to them. Plus, you know, people look at talent in different ways. And if they're not being showcased as a star, some people will see that as a turnoff and they won't watch the show. So that's one of the things I'm going to be curious about is even if the ratings go down and they have been down the last 2 weeks for Raw, does WWE continue to stick with using the talent that they have lately when it comes to guys like a Kevin Owens and a Sami Zayn and, you know, even introducing some of the other guys that they have, you know, AJ Styles now and, like you said, Anderson and Gallows. I hope that they see this as we can afford a little dip in the ratings because we need to build these guys up and hopefully they can make those guys into stars.
Yeah, I think they have to. I think they have to ride, you know, kind of ride or die with these guys because, listen, you know, John Cena is not going to wrestle forever. You know, the guys who have been the stars, eventually they go away. I mean, The Rock went away, and then you had to, you know, plug in John Cena. And, you know, Brock Lesnar is a part-time performer. You have to have people that you can plug in on a nightly basis that people are going to tune in for. And if you have to take a little bit of a downslide because of that, then that's what you do. And, you know, not to bring it back to mixed martial arts, but, you know, I remember when Ronda Rousey first debuted in the UFC and she was going to headline a card. Everyone said, you can't headline a card with Ronda Rousey. People are going to buy that. Who is going to buy a pay-per-view with Ronda Rousey? And here we sit, you know, 2-3 years later, and she's the biggest, you know, one of the biggest draws of the sport, you know, selling over 1 million pay-per-views. It takes time. People have to, you know, people have to discover, you know, the stars. They have to, you know, become fans of these people. I mean, listen, you know, I tell people all the time, like, I watch NXT and enjoy the hell out of that show. And I've become a bigger fan of some of their wrestlers like Kevin Owens. And I'm a huge Finn Balor fan and some of the other guys over there because I've seen them develop from there and then go into the big show. And I kind of find myself rooting for them in WWE because I followed their, you know, their kind of transitional career. And I think that's part of, you know, the difference in this sport is, you know, is that you have to, you know, you have to give people time to find a reason to root for somebody. It can't just be overnight. You can't just show me somebody and say, I mean, if that was the case, you know, every time they do these, you know, ridiculous promo packages for Fandango, he would be a star. But guess what? People don't attach themselves to that. People attach themselves to who they actually like. And so, you know, you have to give people time and effort to actually, oh, wow, I really do like seeing this guy perform over and over and over again. You know, like in my opinion right now, Kevin Owens is the best heel they have on the entire roster. And I think he is getting over like that. And it's starting to, you know, it's starting to build, but it's taken time. I mean, he came in and had the thing with John Cena and it gave him some buzz. But again, even with that, you got to take time and continue to move forward. And I think it's one of those things where it's not going to happen overnight. And it never really has. I mean, look at John Cena. He's the biggest star in professional wrestling today. He didn't start out as John Cena. He was a terrible, bad rapper and a heel back in the day. And then he kind of became John Cena years later. People forget, you know, The Rock was, you know, Rocky Maivia. I mean, it takes time for stars to emerge.
It does. You know, the one thing that I will say, though, that I thought was a really good move by WWE this past week, and something that they do extremely well is that video package they put together on the backstory between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And that's something that, you know, I thought they were going to do a, you know, more of a singles match going into Mania. And I thought that they were going to tell that story. And they really, you know, just kind of hit on the surface of it a little bit. And then finally, the week of Payback, you know, going into those two having a singles match, they break out this awesome piece talking about the history of the two, you know, and how it goes back so many years and they broke into the business together and they were friends and, you know, how that's all fallen apart and everything. And to me, especially when you bring in these new guys, you not only need to showcase them, you have to protect them a little bit and put them in a good position, but telling that story, telling that backstory about these different guys means so much, because there's a lot of people that are still watching WWE that don't know that much about them when it comes to their time before WWE, you know, and don't even watch NXT, so they don't even learn about them then if they come up through the WWE system.
Am I wrong in thinking, by the way, to that point, that Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens thing was one of the best things WWE's produced recently?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
The funny thing is,
I knew the story. You know, I knew the story, but even rewatching it, I was like, wow, this is really powerful.
Right. And the funny thing is, I mean, you look at the power of WWE production, because the same night, they broke out that WrestleMania 32 Relive It Now on the WWE Network package. And you watch that thing and you're sitting there going, holy crap, this must have been the greatest show ever. You know, you look at that thing and you're like, if I haven't watched WrestleMania yet, I need to go watch it. Or maybe I need to see this thing again. I mean, the WWE's production is unbelievable. And I just want to see them do more of that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's as long as the Zayn Owens package. But I think you can utilize production and helping tell stories to make people care about, you know, these feuds going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I mean, there's a great way to tell a story, and they are, I mean, that's what they're masterful at. They're masterful at telling a story. And I think, you know, again, like you said, even if you don't watch NXT, you watch that package, you watch that little vignette, and immediately you're drawn into that. You know, you're immediately like, oh, wow, this means a lot more now because we're seeing the history here. And when you really build stories and build characters like that, you build the rivalry and you make people more interested. And I think, you know, that's one of the most intriguing matches going on at Payback, is you do see this. And that's a rivalry that can go on for years. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, not rehashing the same matches after WrestleMania, but there are some rivalries that always kind of come back together, and you can redo them because there is such a rich, great history there. And I think that's one of those rivalries that they can build on for years to come, because obviously Kevin Owens, again, as I said earlier, I think he's the best bad guy in the company right now. And you got Sami Zayn, who is, you know, kind of an energetic good guy. And, you know, obviously we haven't seen as much of him, but this is a chance for him to really go over. And this is a great match and a great story building. And like I said, that's one of the things I applaud WWE for doing recently, is, you know, they're finally starting to take a chance on some of the younger guys. And I think part of it also comes from this whole injury bug that's been hitting, you know, taking out Seth Rollins, taking out John Cena, taking out Bray Wyatt. You know, they've had to plug in some of these younger guys, and the younger guys are flying. They're shining. They're doing a great job. And I think it's a testament to the NXT and the work they do over there. But these guys are really coming out and putting on shows. And now it seems like WWE is really invested in putting them over in main events and big matches, you know, and they kind of struck a chord with guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and I think they're doing it with the tag team division, bringing in Enzo and Cass, and you know they're kind of fixing the little bit of the shortcomings they had when they brought in Neville, and it just didn't seem to work well with him. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just never got the sense that he was really getting a tremendous push. And you know, obviously he's another guy that's injured right now, but because of these injuries, some of these other guys are getting chances and they're running with it.
Well, that was the thing that I wondered about with Neville, and I think a lot of people did too, and I can equate it to Tyler Breeze as well, who anybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm a big fan of Tyler, is that when you saw what they were in NXT, you wondered, is that going to translate over to the WWE from a standpoint of two things, size and promos? You know, not only are they going to be given promo time, but can they really step up when it comes to the promos, especially in the case of Neville? Neville's really been given an opportunity to do that. It's all been, look at the work rate of this guy. And it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing with AJ Styles. It's a little bit different. AJ obviously has gotten a little bit more time on the mic, but has also come with a lot more hype. But it comes to opportunity for some of these guys as well. And you sit here and wonder, you know what, we see the talent of a Neville and a Tyler Breeze. I'm not saying that they're necessarily world champion level, but, I mean, guys that could definitely be a positive to the roster. And, you know, I don't think either of them have really been utilized much.
No, they haven't. And, you know, they kind of brought in Neville, you know, and they brought him in as the, you know, the high flyer, that kind of thing. You know, I think that, you know, I think that's, you know, he was utilized to a certain extent, but he was always kind of a mid-card status guy. You know, they kind of brought him in as a, you know, he's a high flyer. Look at this crazy, you know, the Red Arrow. Look at this crazy move he can pull off and that kind of thing. But they never really pushed him into like main event matches or those. And again, it seemed like maybe they were going to start pushing him in that direction. Then he gets injured. But yeah, I mean, there are deficiencies with Neville. I mean, as exciting as he is a smaller guy. Obviously, he's not as talented on the mic. You know, there are other things that work against him. But again, you know, as you said, you can't predict how people are going to react to these guys, you know, when they get onto the main roster. Some people fly, other people's fall. And that's, you know, that's the business. You know, I think when they bring in a guy like Finn Balor, it's going to be really interesting to see how he translates, because he was a really, really popular guy in NXT. I loved him. I mean, he was my favorite guy to watch in NXT. But obviously, you know, Finn is a smaller guy. He's not as big. And obviously we don't hear him that much on the mic. At least, you know, in NXT, he didn't talk that much, but his character was there. So again, we'll see. I mean, you know, can he get that appeal just based on, you know, can he get that appeal just based on the team he's going to prove and the history he has? Again, I would think that Finn Balor is going to be a great star in WWE, but you really don't know until they show up.
Well, let's talk about him a little bit, because there's so much intrigue and interest about Balor and when he might debut. So do you think that we're going to see Finn Balor at Payback on Sunday?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of weird. I thought Finn Balor was going to lose the title to Samoa Joe at WrestleMania weekend when they matched, you know, when they had that match right ahead of WrestleMania at TakeOver. I thought that was going to be, you know, that's kind of the transition. That's how it works now. You know, you drop the NXT title and you come up to WWE. It's happened with Neville. It happened with Kevin Owens. You kind of assumed it was going to happen with Finn Balor. And then when he won and he beat Samoa Joe, I was kind of like, okay, what are they doing? Because, you know, Finn had been champion for quite some time, and then he loses it at a house show, which was kind of funny. And then obviously they're going to air the match on NXT this week. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, I think part of it came along, you know, down to timing, is that, you know, they realized that with Bray Wyatt out, and, you know, they need another, you know, another charismatic group, so to speak. And what's bigger, you know, on an international level than the Bullet Club, even though they can't call it the Bullet Club. But yeah, you bring in Anderson and Gallows. I mean, it just seems like it's too perfectly set up for Balor not to debut at Payback, or at the worst on Raw the next night, because of this storyline. I mean, everyone knows the history. You know, if you're a hardcore fan, you know the history of the Bullet Club. You know the history of, you know, Finn Balor, you know, forming it as Prince Devitt, and then obviously AJ Styles kind of taking over when he left. So I think it's too natural for it not to work that way. I think him either coming out at Payback or coming out on Raw, one of the two, it's got to happen, in my opinion.
I did love how Balor, so he loses the title that last week, you know, at that house show. And then afterwards, he's getting on the bus. He actually, I think, put his bags on the bus and then came back out because there was a bunch of fans there. And he said, "See you on Monday." And everybody's like, "Oh, he's going to be on Raw." And then, you know, a couple days later, they're doing another house show somewhere. And he gets on the microphone. He goes, "I'm not leaving NXT. I am staying right here." Like, to try to throw everybody off the scent. And yeah. And I really think it's a case where he could be at Payback. He could be at Raw. I could also see a scenario where he's not on the main roster for, I'm not saying he'll be in NXT, but he's not on the main roster for 2-4 weeks, because they could continue to play this little game of intrigue, because so many people have kind of wondered, like, could somebody else actually be in charge of this faction, if they're doing a faction, which we all believe. Now, I'm of the firm belief it has to be Finn Balor, because they've invested so much in merchandise and whatnot, but that hasn't stopped people from guessing, like, oh, could Triple H be the guy that's in charge because they need somebody that's a mouthpiece and we haven't seen him back? Or could it be Seth Rollins when he comes back? Or could it even be John Cena? Because some people just like throwing out wild theories, which I don't think is ever going to happen. But everybody's got this idea about what's happening. Or could it even be AJ Styles, and this is all a ruse? And I think they like playing with that idea, and maybe they'll play it out even a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's definitely possible. But I think if you want to make maximum impact and you want to create tension right away, you bring in a guy like Finn Balor. I mean, listen, Finn Balor is well known enough in the hardcore audience, and I think even in the crossover audience, that that he'll get over. I mean, listen, you know, I this is going to sound funny, but you talk about merchandising. I mean, when you go, you know, when you go to like, you know, mainstream stores, like let's say a Hot Topic, you know, and they sell WWE merchandise there, they sell t-shirts, you know, it's the standard fare. It's, you know, it's the most popular people.
That's where I go to get my John Cena gear.
Yeah. John Cena shirts and Roman Reigns shirts. And I was at a mall a couple weeks ago and I saw a Finn Balor shirt. They were selling a Finn Balor shirt. Now, you may think that's kind of minor and you might think, oh, that's, you know, it's just a t-shirt, but you know, you don't, you know, when you're at WWE and you're crossing into like a mainstream store, like an alternative store, like a Hot Topic, you know, you got to imagine that you're doing it strategically. You're not going to put, you know, I'm sorry to say, no offense, you're not going to put your Neville shirts in Hot Topic because no one's going to buy them. You're not going to, you know, you're going to put your biggest stars, your biggest selling items. And Finn Balor seems to be one of those guys. So, you know, again, I think there's a reason behind that. So I think if you bring him in right away, you make him the leader of a faction, you, I mean, listen, you know, he's over. I mean, that's the fact. He was over. His entrance, everything about him is over right now. You got to capitalize on that. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And I don't think drawing out, you know, a feud with him and Samoa Joe and NXT is going to do one-tenth of what he could do coming in right now and starting a feud with AJ Styles or starting a feud with Roman Reigns or however they want to play it. I think you do that right away because you've got to strike while the iron's hot. Right now, there's a lot of buzz around Finn Balor. You can't let, in my opinion, you can't let that fade away by chancing it by not having him come in for another month or letting him go back to NXT for another month. Just do it now. Everyone's buzzing. Everyone wants to see it. It's like AJ Styles debuting at the Rumble. There was all this buzz about him coming in. Now imagine if they hadn't done that. Imagine if he didn't actually show up at the Rumble and showed up the next night on Raw or showed up a month later. It just wouldn't have the same impact. I think AJ Styles got over in a lot of ways because the fans anticipated him showing up at the Rumble and he actually showed up at the Rumble. I think people expect Finn Balor to show up at Payback or at worst on Raw. And if you don't do that, I think you kill some of the buzz you're getting right now.
Well, unless they do like little featurettes or, you know, whatever, just kind of teasing it a little bit more, they start doing little mentions about he is coming or something like that. I don't know if they would actually do that, but I think one of the interesting things about Balor is, so they're positioning, you know, Anderson and Gallows obviously as heels. So if you bring in a Finn Balor, you are confident that in a couple of things. Number one, he could be a heel despite all the different things that he does that people love about him when it comes to his work style and his entrance and everything. And you are also confident that he could fit in the role of being the guy that's in charge of a group in WWE and be at least an equal mouthpiece, if not more of one, than the rest of the group.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, you know, like I said, I think there's a couple of possibilities with this. I mean, again, I think we have, you know, we started to bleed the line a little bit more with the, you know, with the heel and the face thing in WWE. I mean, listen, yes, you know, there, you know, when you put a guy against a certain guy, you know that they are going to not be, you know, they're not going to get the fanfare. But I think it's kind of come over to that John Cena thing where half the people love him, half the people hate him. He is definitely, you know, portrayed as a baby face. But you know, again, it doesn't necessarily mean the crowd loves him. I mean, look at Roman Reigns. My God, the guy is supposed to be the, you know, the next Rock, the next Cena, and everyone hates him. He gets booed out of the building. Imagine if Finn Balor comes in and attacks, you know, Roman Reigns on day one. Imagine how much that's going to put him over, even if he is supposed to be a heel.
Well, I don't think WWE cares about that terminology of babyface or heel. They care about, you know, does the guy get the reaction? It's something that the more their guys have said more often, you know, these days. And I just don't think they're worried about it. I think they're like, let's break away from what was a traditional heel. A guy can be a bad guy, but it doesn't mean people can't cheer for him and he can't sell merchandise. And, you know, he gets a reaction and that's all we're going to care about right now. I mean, there's arguments, pros and cons. And I get that. I guess I'm probably more of a traditionalist, but I'm not going to go up in arms because I'm going to say, oh, this guy's supposed to be a heel, but yet they're putting him in a position where he's cool and he's going to sell merchandise, you know, and things like that, that you wouldn't do in that light. So, you know, it's kind of this mixed bag and they're not going to do that with everybody. I don't think, obviously there's a few guys that they are doing it with or are forced to do it with, Roman Reigns probably being the best example. And then you've got Cena, but I don't think they're really too worried about that and just say, that's going to be what it's going to be. Let's get the guy up here.
Yeah. Well, remember also when Finn Balor was Prince Devitt and he turned and created the Bullet Club in New Japan, he was a good guy then. He was like the ultimate good guy. And then he turned on his partner and created the Bullet Club and became a bad guy. This could be the perfect scenario to do that again, where, you know, everyone kind of expects him to come in and be a good guy, or, you know, fan favorite, or however you want to paint it. And then he comes in and turns on AJ Styles or does something, you know, whatever that case may be. And he kind of takes over the Bullet Club again. Like I said, it transcends time. You have to remember the Generation X was supposed to be a heel faction. You know, they were, you know, all these guys kind of forming together and people loved them. That's the point. You go with what works. And I think if you bring in a Finn Balor right now, you're not painting him in any one direction. You're having him come in. I think, you know, if he debuts at Payback, let's say he comes out, you say the lights drop and his music hits and you see him come out, everyone goes nuts and they expect him to maybe, you know, attack Roman, he attacks AJ. Again, there's a million different possibilities. And I think, you know, he is a charismatic guy, and I think his character and his story and the way people kind of react to him will work no matter who he's going against, and it just kind of transcends that. Now, right now, would Finn Balor probably go over bigger in a match against, you know, like he had with Kevin Owens, or like he had with Samoa Joe, you know, in that kind of role? Maybe, I don't know, but you know, they've done a really good job of bleeding those lines in NXT, and I think they can continue to bleed those lines in WWE more often with a guy like Finn Balor. Because right, I mean, look, as you said, Anderson and Gallows were brought in. Clearly, they're being brought in as heels. You know what I mean? Clearly, they're being brought in as heels, but when they come out, what's happening? People are chanting, Bullet Club, Bullet Club. They're chanting. They're getting behind them. They're excited to see them. Again, that's all that matters. And, you know, getting a reaction. And Finn Balor will get a reaction no matter what he does when he finally debuts.
Yeah, and I think that's all they care about. I'm going to be curious to see how they actually debut him. Is it something where, you know, Anderson and Gallows are going at it with AJ, or they're going out with Reigns or something like that, and he sneaks in? Or do they do kind of the whole thing that they did NWO style when it came to introducing Hogan, where he comes out and people are all excited, and then you come to find out he's doing something else? Or, you know, I don't know if you can really do that, because there is no surprise here that he is going to be with Anderson and Gallows, or at least that's what we believe. And it would be, to me, it would be extremely strange if he was not, you know, whenever he debuts. But I'm going to be very curious to see how exactly do they handle that. I think it almost has to be a situation of, you know what, everybody knows he's going to be with them, and that doesn't mean it's not going to be exciting when he debuts. Maybe it's something where the two of them are in the ring and, you know, they do the big entrance for him and he comes out and he joins the group, you know, and they just go to town on somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, my two opinions of what will happen at Payback, or let's just say hypothetically, if that's when Finn Balor debuts, I think it's one of two scenarios. I think one is the one that kind of everyone's guessing right now, which is, you know, AJ Styles on Raw has been very much, you know, I don't want you guys involved. I don't want you guys to interfere in the match. I want to do it myself. And, you know, and the theory is, you know, they come out to help him beat Roman Reigns and he tells him to go away. And then, you know, Finn Balor comes out and turns on AJ Styles. And that sets up a, you know, a feud between Finn and AJ, starting things out right away. And Finn obviously has the Bullet Club going against AJ Styles. That's been, at least correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of been the popular theory. Now, I like your idea, though, about the Hulk Hogan thing, because even though, you know, that you know, you can only do that Hulk Hogan thing once in a lifetime. But, you know, I think if you have Finn Balor come out and, you know, maybe Anderson and Gallows are attacking Roman, and you have Finn Balor come out and he takes the ring and they leave and it looks like he's going to help Roman and he turns on Roman. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, but I think, you know, that impact right away. I mean, I like the idea of the Bullet Club forming and having AJ and Finn, and right away you have four really strong workers together, you know, kind of as, you know, as a team right away. But I could absolutely see them doing it the other direction, which is, you know, Finn joins up with Anderson and Gallows against AJ Styles. So either way, I don't think it's really a lose-lose situation. I think it's a win-win either way you go.
Yeah, I don't know if they would do that, where they would put AJ and Finn in the group, because then people are going to, you know, whether this really would play out this way or not, but I think people would wonder, like, who's really the ringleader? Who's the guy in charge? You know, even if they tried to make it like nobody's really in charge kind of thing. And I just think there's a whole different dimension by bringing in Finn, if this is the way they do it. They bring him in there and he feuds with AJ right off the bat, because, I mean, AJ to me is going to be the big winner coming off this pay-per-view, because he's not going to beat Roman. I think everybody will agree to that he is not going to beat Roman to win the championship, but he's probably going to be screwed out of the championship. And if they put him against Balor, that's going to make it all the more exciting. Plus, if he gets screwed out of that championship, I think more people are going to get behind him. They're going to get behind him even more when he has dynamic matches with, you know, another guy like Finn, like we expect him to have if that's the route they go. And I think it really opens up a window to where whenever that time comes that they want to switch the title off of Roman, which I don't think is going to be for a while, that Styles is a guy that they will honestly consider, you know, if he continues to get the fan following that he has.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the, you know, and I think on the flip side of that, if they decide to, you know, if they decide to team up, you know, Rome, or if they decide to team up Finn and AJ together, which I agree with you, I think that's less likely to happen than the other way around, which is Finn ends up, you know, Finn Balor ends up feuding with AJ Styles. But, you know, I think if they do it the other direction, you know, it kind of goes back to that, you know, kind of back to that Bray Wyatt line, anybody but you, Roman. You know, maybe they just come out and, you know, the idea is they want that title, you know, for the Bullet Club. They want it for themselves. They want to take it off. And, you know, like I said, immediately that puts them over because, you know, they're going to try, or at least on paper, it looks like they're trying, you know, they're trying to make, you know, they're trying to take over a faction and take it away from Roman. But obviously you and I both know no one's going to cheer for, I mean, Roman could lose the title tomorrow and in the, you know, in a Montreal screw job, and people would still find a way to boo him, okay? He's just not going to get over with fans. So maybe that's the plan. Maybe, you know, they team up AJ with Finn, and then they both go after Roman Reigns. I don't know. I don't think that's as likely. I agree with you. I think it's going to probably be the other, where Finn and AJ go into a program right after Payback or right after Raw. But either way, like I said, there's really no bad scenario unless, and I think the only way there's a bad scenario with AJ Styles, or excuse me, with Finn Balor, is if you bring him in and you don't somehow pair him up with the Bullet Club. You try to make him, you know, go against the Bullet Club, which I guess is a possibility. I just think it would be a colossal screw up not to capitalize on all the buzz. And like you said, they've already done merchandising. They have the Balor Club, and, you know, they have the Bulletproof Balor. I mean, come on. They've put too much money and effort into that already not to do it when it comes to the main roster.
Exactly. And that's the way I look at it, too. It's just like there's so much invested in merchandise-wise. For anybody that says, oh, they're going to have, you know, somebody else be in charge of that group, it just makes no sense to me, man. And I've mentioned this before, too, saying, well, they could always say, you know, we never explained what the Balor Club was, and that's just his legion of fans. I'm like, there's no way. I mean, we've seen the Bullet Club. This is a playoff of that. It has to be the group. You've got Anderson. You've got Gallows. You've got to do it, you know, off of this. So I do wonder when it comes to Roman, because, I mean, that guy, I mean, he's going to get booed mercilessly again. He's going to get drilled come Sunday. And that's going to be in Chicago, too. So, I mean, it's not going to be a pretty scene. But the thing I wonder is, so he wins, okay, but he doesn't cheat the win, but like Anderson and Gallows somehow get involved and it costs AJ Styles, whether it's flat out they cost him, or if it's just, hey, we tried to help you and it backfired, which I think that's the way it's going to go, but they backfire on purpose kind of thing. I'm wondering too, how does this play for Roman going forward? You know, because I think it's going to make more people even hate him more, if that's even possible. And who would they pair him up against next? Because if they do something like this, I could see them quickly moving off of AJ in the world title picture, you know, to go in this other direction. And then somebody else is going to have to be paired with Roman. I'm just not sure who that other guy would be. I mean, Cena's coming back, but not until Memorial Day. So who would be next in line?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, you know, how they're gonna play that. I mean, listen, you know, like you said, you know, no matter what happens, Roman Reigns is gonna get booed mercifully. No matter, you know, whether he wins, loses, whatever happens, he's not gonna get over. He's not, you know, people are not gonna suddenly find him appealing. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know the honest answer to that question, because, you know, like I said, I think, you know, putting him in a program with Cena, you know, come May would make sense, because, you know, you got kind of got the, you know, two very polarizing figures in WWE going up, you know, against each other. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the way Cena, you know, finally transcends, because I think for as much as John Cena gets the, you know, let's go Cena sucks chance, I actually think people would root for him against Roman Reigns.
I do too.
So, you know, maybe that, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, maybe that's the thing, is you just, you know, you don't have him paired up with anybody until Cena comes back. I mean, listen, this is, you know, it's the end of April. We got a month to go. We got a few weeks to go. You know, you run back another program, you have, you know, Roman fight a couple other people, and boom, out of nowhere, here comes John Cena. And also, you know, John Cena Cena has said his comeback is going to be on, you know, Memorial Day. That's been the tease. But, you know, like I said, who's to say he couldn't show up early and just surprise everybody? I mean, that's, you know, WWE loves to try to still surprise us. You know, what would happen if that maybe they're like, John Cena's coming back Memorial Day, and then boom, he shows up 2 weeks early. Like, oh my gosh, he's not supposed to be here. You know, whatever the case may be. So I think that program, you know, does have some life in it if you put that together and then, you know, have those guys, you know, kind of go after each other, you know, leading into SummerSlam, you know, for the next few months. I don't know if that would last that long. But again, there's a lot of possibilities, but I agree. It is tough to say. Or like I said, it could be. You know, it could end up being Finn Balor, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe there's a chance he helps AJ Styles. And even if AJ doesn't win the title, you know, maybe they all go against Roman. I don't see that as more likely, but it's possible.
Yeah. You know, the next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules. And that's May 22nd. So that's supposed to be before Cena comes back. But who knows? I mean, they said he's going to be on Raw that week. But I mean, I think they're going to hold steadfast to that because otherwise they wouldn't have announced that date. So that kind of makes you wonder, like, okay, where are they going to go here? Maybe it still could be AJ. Maybe it could be something where, like I said, they do something where Anderson and Gallows cost AJ the title, but they don't do it on purpose. And you kind of string this along all the way to Extreme Rules. And that's where you debut Finn. I mean, I could see something like that. But, I mean, it's got to be Finn. It's got to be here in, you know, within the next 3-4 weeks or else people are going to be utterly disappointed and really pissed off probably about the whole process. You know, I want to go back to something about Roman here really quick too. So many people, you know, are mad about Roman being in the position that he's in. I think that he's going to be a longtime champion. And I would not be surprised if he was champion all the way till next year's WrestleMania. How long do you think he'll be champ for?
I think he'll be champ for a while because I really truly believe deep down inside that, you know, that Vince McMahon refuses to believe that he can't make this guy a superstar. You know, Vince is a stubborn guy and, you know, he gets stuck in his ways when it comes to certain people that he has a thing for, whatever you want to call it. And I think there's just something about Roman Reigns that he continuously wants to promote. And, you know, he pegged him as the next big thing, or however it happened that he got pegged as the next big thing. And they don't want to give up on that. They don't want to give up on him not being the next big thing. So I agree. I think he could absolutely hold on to the title for a long time. And you know, whether you know, he would drop it at, you know, at Royal Rumble or maybe even hold it all the way to the next WrestleMania if they can come up with another scenario to you know, have him go up against somebody at WrestleMania. I don't know. But I agree. I think he could be a long reigning champion because I think honestly in my head and in my mind, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't want to give up on Roman Reigns being the star of tomorrow or the star of today, and he's going to continuously push him however he can, put him in as many programs with as many people that you know he thinks could turn him around and trying to get something to stick. And I don't know that it ever will. I think if it was going to stick, it would have done by now. But I agree. I think he absolutely could be champion that long.
That dude can't catch a break no matter what he does. I mean, did you see where somebody found an old picture of him wearing jeans for promos pictures? Now it's gone somewhat viral, but making fun of him for wearing dad jeans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can't win. I mean, he absolutely cannot win. I mean, and you know what? Like I said before, it's just like the Finn Balor thing. You can't tell people who to root for. When you do, they almost automatically kind of turn against you for that. And so that's the point. You can't tell people, you know, we need you to be on board with Roman Reigns. That almost automatically fails. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, Roman was over pretty well when he was a member of the Shield. It's as soon as he broke apart and became a good guy is when people started to hate him. When he was a bad guy and he was teamed up with Rollins and Ambrose, he was over. The Shield was very over at that point. But as soon as you turned him and people started anointing him as the next great thing, that was it. You can't tell people. You cannot tell people who to root for.
Take out the main event for Payback. What match are you most interested in?
Definitely Owens and Sami Zayn, just because those two guys work so well together. There is a history, and you know, take away the story and everything, they have great matches. I mean, I'm all about the matches, and I think those two will have a great match. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Kevin Owens is the best heel going in professional wrestling today. I'm a big fan of his. I love what he does. And I think this is a showcase moment for him, and, you know, in a one-on-one match with a guy who will really perform with him. I mean, let's be honest, Owens has been stuck in there with some stiff guys in the past that don't exactly, you know, compliment him when he's doing his best work. And I think Sami Zayn will be a guy who will do that. So I'm really excited about that match.
Do you think that this match would have meant a lot more or had a different vibe if Owens was still the IC champion?
I do. I absolutely do. But I think, in my opinion, this is a test. This is a test to see, you know, how big, you know, Kevin Owens and or Sami Zayn can get without a belt. You know, I always feel like, you know, certain titles are used as promotional tools to get people over. Now, how that's working to try to get over The Miz all of a sudden, I have no idea. I think, honestly, it's a bigger program to try to put over Cesaro now that he's a James Bond character, I guess. I don't really know what exactly they're doing with him. But
yeah, he's James Bond now, man.
Yeah, so, you know, so I think it's more of a program to put over Cesaro than it is necessarily The Miz. But I think that, you know, it depends on the title and the timing, and I think that's what that title's being right now. And I think Owens and Zayn matching without the title is trying to get people invested into the emotion of their story, and no title has to be attached. And I think that there is a certain level of brilliance to that, because if you can get people that involved in that match without anything technically on the line, that's a good sign. That means the guy who comes out of that, or whoever is more over after that match, is ready at some point in the future to become a guy, to become, you know, a top seller, to become a guy you can put in a title match.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I agree that probably is kind of this weird kind of test. And also, you know, I think they said, you know what, these guys don't need a championship to feud over to make it work because they do have this background. The thing that I don't like is just what they've done with both the IC and the United States Championship. Remember, just a year ago, it was all about, you know, building up those two championship, you know, those two championships. And now look at where it's gone. I'm not somebody that hates The Miz. I haven't for a long time. I've actually been a supporter. This new thing that they've got him doing, it's the wrong kind of heat. It's the wrong kind of hatred. It's just beyond annoying, and it's just confoundingly stupid, I think. And, you know, then you've got Kalisto's United States champion who can't get off the pre-show matches with frickin' Ryback, you know, going back and forth with him.
The Intercontinental title switch at WrestleMania was one of the more confounding, confusing moments, because, you know, Kevin Owens was such a, you know, an over champion, and I think he did a really good job selling that title as a big deal, and then to put it on Zack Ryder for one day and then to put it on The Miz, just, it didn't make a lot of sense. And I feel like they've kind of made that a minor league title all of a sudden, because when you think about what the program that was worked with Owens and Ambrose, it felt like the Intercontinental title was important again. You know what I mean? It felt like a really important title and a really important rivalry between those two during that time. Putting it on, you know, Zack Ryder and then The Miz, it just kind of lost its luster. And then, literally the U.S. title went from something that people cared about, you know, John Cena doing the John Cena challenge and, you know, having those matches with Owens and Zayn and, you know, kind of the fun part of that. And then the moment, I remember when Alberto Del Rio returned, I mean, I was like, holy crap, like that was a really cool moment. And then he beat John Cena, becomes champion. Oh my gosh. And then he loses it and gets in this weird thing with Kalisto. And you're like, what is going on? Like, this makes no sense. And they just devalued the title. Like I couldn't even begin to tell. Like my amount of caring for the United States title right now is somewhere, you know, at the bottom dwelling of, like, if I have time to watch this match, I'll watch it, but I really don't care one bit. And I'm sorry to say, you know, all the attention that title got with putting it on Cena is dead now. I mean, it's dead. There's no buzz. I've not heard one person say they care one bit about Kalisto or the United States title since he lost, you know, since he took the title from Alberto Del Rio. I don't get it. I don't really understand what they're doing with that.
I don't either. And the whole thing was, too, I thought it was the right decision to put it on Kalisto, but then feature him and let him have good matches. I mean, they keep talking about wanting another Hispanic star, and they've got a guy. Well, yes, he is smaller, but he can have dynamic matches. And guess what? He speaks English. And for whatever reason, they just said, you know what? He's got the championship, but we're not going to do anything with it. They've devalued it. They've devalued the IC title. They've gone against everything that they've built up over this past year, especially Cena's work during that U.S. championship. I just don't understand it right now. And it's going to take some work to get it back on track. I don't think it'll be as much work, but my goodness, I don't understand what they're doing with that entire thing. The other thing is, too, there's been so much work, and I think positive work, especially going into WrestleMania and past then when it comes to what they've done with the women. But then, you know, they didn't do too much, you know, on Raw this past week. And in Charlotte against Natalya, even though we all believe we know what's going to happen in the match, that really hasn't gotten a lot of pub, you know, especially when you're talking about this whole new era for women.
Yeah, it was WrestleMania to me was a solid event up until about the last hour when you had that, you know, abysmal battle royal and then the Triple H Roman Reigns match, which was, you know, obviously incredibly predictable. And the show going like 4.5 hours didn't help. But one of the things I was most excited about with that WrestleMania was the women's match. I mean, Charlotte against Sasha against, you know, Becky. Now, I don't think anyone going in had any belief that Becky Lynch was going to walk out with the title, but most people thought Sasha Banks was going to win the title. And yeah, I'll give WWE credit for pulling the switch and giving it back to Charlotte. I didn't see that coming. I thought with, you know, as over as Sasha Banks was going into that event, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that she was going to win. And when she didn't, I was kind of like, wow, that's kind of surprising, especially with the way it ended with her being pulled out of the, you know, held out of the ring by Ric Flair. But then to not capitalize on that buzz, to completely just, I mean, literally just dump it. I mean, dump that buzz completely. And now you've got Natalya of all people, and I'm not against Natalya. I don't think she's a, you know, a bad worker by any means, but just out of left field to put her in a program with Charlotte for the title. I'm just like, why? I don't get it. That's what, you know, for all the good things I'm talking about with the Bullet Club and all these other things that are going on good, I think the women's division and the whole thing with the League of Nations, which has got to be one of the dumbest concepts I've ever seen, I think those two things are just confounding my brain right now to try to figure out why they are doing what they are doing, especially when you have a talent as good as Sasha Banks, who, I mean, listen, when she was in NXT and she was working her stuff with Bayley, I was way more into that than I was anything going on in WWE at the time. I was way into that match, the Iron Woman match and the matches they had before. I loved those matches, and they put on a great show. Why they just killed every bit of buzz they had around Sasha Banks with WrestleMania and then coming off of that, and she just disappears. I wish I had an answer. It just confounds me why that happened.
I think you buried the lead there. You, as an MMA guy, covering UFC events, which go on and on and on, didn't like the 7 hours of WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's true. Yeah, WrestleMania did feel a bit long, but yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of decisions that have been made in WWE recently that make me happy. Like I said, the injection of the new guys. I'm excited what they're doing with the tag team division. I think, you know, bringing in, you know, giving AJ Styles a chance to headline is great. I mean, they're pushing him right into the main event status, even though, again, like you said, probably no chance he wins. But again, they're giving him an opportunity. They're bringing in the Bullet Club. They're bringing in Finn Balor, assuming. But then, like I said, there's a lot of head-scratching decisions being made at the same time. But I guess that's WWE. You're never really going to be happy with everything they're doing.
Yeah. Two last things. You probably heard the news today about Ric Flair at the Boston airport, about reports that he was acting strange. Some people said he was drunk. Some people said he was not, or at least a police sergeant said he was not. And he somehow got a cut on his hand. And when it was all said and done, they said he was never arrested, he wasn't intoxicated, and he got on his plane to go home. There are definitely a lot of people that were there at the airport, were filming him, and said he was at the bar, he was drunk, he was just acting like Ric Flair can tend to act every now and then, and was doing whatever the hell he was doing. What do you make of the situation?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, especially, you know, obviously given his history with, you know, with alcohol and some other things that he's had happen in the past. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is much ado about nothing. I mean, in this day and age of, you know, in this day and age of social media and you know, phones and videos and things like this, you know, you can't walk through an airport if you're a celebrity without someone, you know, taking pictures or taking video of whatever it is you're doing or saying. Maybe it is much ado about nothing. I don't know. I mean, I saw the story and, you know, I think if, you know, if there was a real, you know, we've seen plenty of celebrities get arrested or chucked off planes for acting drunk or being stupid. And people far more famous than Ric Flair, no offense to Ric Flair. So if he didn't get arrested and he didn't get stopped and he was allowed to get on his plane and there's no further incidents, I'm kind of thinking it's Much Ado About Nothing, because in this day and age, like I said, I think if it was really that bad of an incident, they would have absolutely, they wouldn't have let him get on the plane. They would have, taken him into custody. None of that happened. So I'm trying to imagine this as, not necessarily a misunderstanding, but not necessarily as big of a situation as some people are making it out to be.
I don't know. It just depends on what comes out, as, in social media, if people have videos and that starts to get out and everything, because you're looking at a guy that's with WWE, and if it gets very public and people know stories about Rick and whatnot, it could be an embarrassment to the company, and they could either, fire him, pull him off TV. They could make him go to rehab. Remember, this is a guy that has been on TV every week now, with his daughter. So I think there could be something that comes off of this. And the funny thing is too, they've got this new adult cartoon coming out called Camp WWE, which actually debuts on Sunday after the pay-per-view. And I've already seen the screener, and they don't talk about Rick's drinking on there, but I'll tell you what, they totally have fun with his sexual exploits. And they're going to town about Ric Flair humping basically everything around. I mean, they're not shy about that, but then they get a situation like this when it comes to drinking, and I just wonder, how is this all going to work out?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you wonder, you wonder how they're going to play this. I mean, like I said, they've kind of built this relationship with Rick and Charlotte after they weren't supposed to do that, I think, in the beginning. She didn't want to kind of ride the coattails of her father, but whatever, that's the program they're running. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, like I said, WWE is a different animal, because, like I said, you try to take, press however you can get it. I remember, not to bring it back too much to MMA, but like when John Jones and Daniel Cormier got into a brawl in the middle of the MGM, and everyone said, oh, it's such a disgrace, it's a terrible look for the sport. It's two guys street fighting, and this is supposed to be a real sport. And then guess what? 4 minutes later, everyone's talking about it. It's the greatest moment. They use it in promos to talk about it. So you never know. I mean, like I said, you never know how they're going to play this thing. Will they play it into, will they make it somehow, turn around for Rick and make it part of the story, or try to spin it? I don't know. I don't think that's likely, but who knows? Like I said, I mean, you try to take the good with the bad. And if you get free publicity out of it, you try to run with it. I mean, that's just the nature of sports, of entertainment these days. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it goes. And like I said, if Rick had gotten arrested, I think we'd be talking about a much different story. If he'd gotten taken into custody and there were photos of him with handcuffs on and he's getting pulled out of the airport, he didn't go on his flight, I think we'd be talking about a much different scenario right now. We could be talking about him getting suspended, or, whatever other scenarios that could play out. But I think none of that happened. I think it's anybody's guess what WWE does.
Yeah, that's true. So, last thing. So Conor McGregor's been in the news so much lately. No matter what happens and when he fights next, we know he's under UFC contract. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. Do you ever see a day where he would want to get into wrestling?
No, I really don't. And I've talked to Conor's managers about this, and I think Conor has fun with the idea of it, just like he had fun with the idea of going and doing that, that Vin Diesel movie, the Triple X movie. I think he was, kind of having fun with that. I think he was kind of having fun with that idea of, he's an entertainer. He likes to be an entertainer. But, as you said, he's under contract with the UFC. He's not going to be going to WWE, anytime soon. But even after it's done, Conor's an entertainer, but he's also a fighter. At the end of the day, Conor is a fighter. He wants to be a fighter. He likes to be a promoter, but, and could he do a program kind of like what Floyd Mayweather did a few years ago, show up and do a match like that for fun? Sure. But again, same thing with Floyd Mayweather. Remember, Conor McGregor is 5'9" and 100, when he's, soaking wet, he's 160 pounds. So in WWE, he would be smaller than everybody. I mean, he would be smaller than, even the small guys. So, that's working against him as well. But I think ultimately, Conor likes to have fun. He likes to tease what could happen. But I think ultimately Conor's a fighter, and that's what he wants to be. He wants to be a fighter.
I agree. I think he's too small. I think he can make an appearance once or twice or anything, but as a regular, I just don't see that happening. Plus, if he's complaining about money now, He'd really have a complaint in WWE.
I mean, they could do a fun. I mean, like I said, I think, you know, there are people who are underutilized in WWE. I mean, maybe I'm one of the few, but I'm actually a big fan of Sheamus. And I remember when he first came in and worked the programs with John Cena. You know, I think a guy like that, like, you could have Connor come in and be the Irishman. You know what I mean?
Oh,
have him come in and do a program where you get Sheamus and Becky Lynch together, you know, and team them, you know, not team them up, but, you know what I mean, kind of have that faction, and, you know, Connor kind of unites them. And you know, Connor is kind of a, you know, Connor is an outlandish guy, and kind of a, you know, he's a good guy, but a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of the, you know, a lot of people love to root against Connor. You know, so immediately you kind of have him come in and be the mouthpiece for the Irish faction. You know, they don't feel like they're getting the respect they deserve, and, you know, he kind of puts them over a little bit. That could be fun. You know what I mean? Like, that could be a fun thing. You know, he's probably never going to wrestle. You know what I mean?
But he would be a special attraction that could add to something.
And you know what? If they play their cards right, just like Ronda Rousey showing up to WrestleMania last year, the UFC could absolutely play their cards right and have Connor show up and do it for fun and actually make it a big deal and get a lot of publicity out of it without him ever actually wrestling. You know what I mean? He could go in and, you know, do the Floyd Mayweather thing where he throws one punch and knocks somebody out, and maybe he leads the Irish people out of there. Because, you know, I know he does have a, you know, kind of a, you know, a friendly relationship, so to speak, with Sheamus and Becky Lynch. You know what I mean? Just on an Irish level. So that could be something fun. Have him come in for something like that. But as far as wrestling goes, I don't think that's ever going to happen. A, because I don't really think Connor's passionate about that. And B, you know, like I said, you can't ignore the fact that he's 5'9 and 160 pounds. That's just not going to work when you throw him in there against, you know, guys who are 6'4". And, you know, 250 pounds is just, you know, in professional wrestling, just like in MMA, you can talk about Conor McGregor all you want, put him next to Jon Jones, it's a much different story.
Well, I appreciate you coming back on the podcast. Everybody can find Damon's work over at foxsports.com. All of his UFC work, where he is the senior UFC writer for Fox Sports and for UFC.com. You can also find him over at nerdcoremovement.com, everything TV and comics and things like that, especially when it comes to Game of Thrones. And follow you on Twitter. It's at Damon Martin as well. So thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Love doing it. Appreciate you having me.
Make sure you subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher, or you could do it on both. Please rate and review the podcast as well. You can also find it on SoundCloud as well as at BetweenTheRopes.com. And make sure you follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. Simple little click. Just click it. Follow me. I promise it won't hurt one bit and you'll appreciate it. So thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.